Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to Jewish Short Stories from Eastern Europe and Beyond. I'm Leonard Nimoy. This 13-part series features many of the best Jewish stories of the past 150 years, written in English or translated from Russian, Hebrew, or Yiddish. Directed by Joan Mickland Silver, our readers include some of the finest performers of stage, screen, and television: Alan Alda, Lauren Bacall, Claire Bloom, Elliot Gould, Walter Matthau, and many more. The 32 stories in our series may at first seem rather diverse, if not incongruous. They were, after all, written in different languages, at different times, in different countries, and with very different literary styles. Some do not even concern themselves with explicitly Jewish subjects. But as you listen, I think you'll agree that all have this in common. Written by Jewish authors, they somehow reflect a sensibility, a voice, a worldview born of 1,000 years of Jewish life and culture in Central and Eastern Europe. And whether through humor, tragedy, or, as is more often the case, equal measures of both, they struggle with a common question. What does it mean? What can it possibly mean to live as a Jew in the modern world? Today's program features three Jewish short stories written in three different languages. From Russian, we have My First Goose by Isaac Babel. From Yiddish, A Stranger by I.J. Singer. And from English, The Loudest Voice by Grace Paley. We begin with Isaac Babel. Isaac Babel is often acclaimed as the finest Russian prose writer of the 20th century. He is also one of the finest Jewish writers. A native speaker of Yiddish, he studied traditional Jewish texts until age 16, when he broke with Orthodox Judaism to embrace the very different orthodoxy of Marxism. Still, he remained deeply imbued with Jewish values, a source of contradiction that was to lend creative tension to all of his work. My First Goose is one of the most profound and profoundly disquieting of Babel's tales. The protagonist, like the author, is a Jewish intellectual serving as a political officer with the Red Cavalry, responsible for spreading Marxist ideology among the troops during the years immediately following the Russian Revolution. Billeted near the front with a group of battle-weary Cossacks, he wins acceptance only by adopting the banal brutality of his comrades. But there's a price to pay, for in so doing, he betrays not only his Jewish soul, but ultimately the hope and idealism of the revolution itself. Isaac Babel was arrested by the Soviet secret police in 1939. He was never heard from again. My First Goose by Isaac Babel. Our reader is Alan Rosenberg.
Savitsky, the commander of the 6th Division, stood up when he saw me. I was struck by the beauty of his gigantic body. He stood up, and his purple riding breeches, the crimson cap on the side of his head, and the ribbons pinned to his chest seemed to cut the hut in half as a banner cleaves the sky. The smell of unobtainable perfumes and the cloying coolness of soap emanated from him. His long legs looked like girls, sheathed to the neck in shining riding boots. He smiled at me, struck his riding whip against the table, and pulled toward him an order that had just been dictated by the chief of staff. It was an order to Ivan Chesnokov to march the regiment entrusted to him in the direction of Chuganov Dobrovodka, and on making contact with the enemy to destroy same. "For which same destruction," the division commander wrote, smudging the whole sheet, "I make this same Chesnokov responsible up to and including the supreme penalty. And I'll finish him on the spot, which you, Comrade Chesnokov, since you've been working with me for some months at the front, can be sure of." The commander of the 6th signed the order with a flourish, tossed it to the messengers, and turned his gray eyes, dancing with merriment, on me. "Say your piece," he cried, cleaving the air with his whip. Then he read the order that assigned me to the staff of the division. "Put it down in the orders of the day," the division commander said. put it down and put him down for every entertainment except the front line. Can you read and write? I can, I answered, full of envy of his steely strength and youthful complexion. I hold a law degree from Petersburg University. You're one of those mama's boys, he roared, laughing. Glasses on his nose, too, a lousy little squirt. They send you without consulting us. They're liable to carve you to pieces here because of those glasses. Think you'll make it with us, do you? I'll make it, I answered, and went with the quartermaster to the village to find a billet for the night. The quartermaster carried my trunk on his shoulder. The village street lay before us. The dying sun, round and yellow as a pumpkin, was expiring, lending a rosy tinge to the sky. We walked as far as a cottage with garlands painted on it, where the quartermaster stopped and said suddenly with a guilty little smile, "Glasses bring trouble around here, and nothing can be done about it. They make it a dog's life for an educated man. But if you mess up a lady, a real clean little lady, then you'll see how popular you'll be with the boys." He shifted his feet around with my little trunk on his back, came right up close to me, then turned away as if in despair and trotted into the nearest yard. Cossacks were sitting around there on a pile of hay, shaving each other. "Here, men," the quartermaster said, putting my little trunk down on the ground. "In accordance with Comrade Savitsky's orders, you are to give this man a billet and no nonsense about it, because this man suffered plenty in the learning line." The quartermaster, who had turned purple in the face, went off without looking back. I raised my hand to my cap, saluting the Cossacks. A young fellow with lank flaxen hair and a handsome face walked up to my little trunk, picked it up, and tossed it out through the gate. Then he turned his behind toward me and very expertly started emitting obscene sounds. "Gun number 00, an older Cossack shouted to him and burst out laughing. "Open running fire!" The fellow exhausted his uncomplicated talent and walked off. Then, crawling around on the ground, I began to collect the manuscripts and my rags and tatters of clothes that had spilled out of the trunk. I picked them up and carried them to the other end of the yard. Near the cottage, on a brick stove, stood a kettle. Pork was cooking in it. The steam poured from it like smoke